Good evening, good evening, Strong Stance listeners. I'm your host, Eli Strong. My wife and I recently took a trip down to New Orleans for a week, but just before we left, I was introduced to our next guest via a mutual friend on Facebook. And in a bizarre turn of events, he happens to live in New Orleans. So long story short, I got to meet him and talk about his amazing adventure that he's about to embark on. And I had to have him on to share it with the Strong Stance listeners. My guest is Basil Soper. Basil is a transgender writer, activist, feminist, and southerner who wears his heart on his sleeve. He writes for Pride.com and Bear World and is the founder of Transzillion. He wants to write a memoir eventually, and he can be reached at www.ncqueer.com. Basil, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
Hey, Eli. I'm doing really well. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, there's so much that I want to talk to you about today, and definitely some things that I feel like our listeners are just going to be kind of super jazzed about hearing about. But first, I really just kind of want to talk about who is Basil. So what is your background? Like, how did you get involved in whatever makes you happy or what you're doing now? Like, what does previous events for Basil's life look like?
Yeah, well, I'm the oldest of four kids, and I have always been a really creative person ever since I can remember. So it's whether I was like directing plays or pretending to have my own radio show or whatever. But let's see, I was raised in South Carolina. I was raised in a really low income household. Both of my parents drank pretty alcoholically, and I came out as trans for the first time when I was five. It didn't really go over very well in my household. So
it's not an easy age to come out for you, especially in the
yeah. I was on my way to baseball practice with my dad, and it was a long argument about how there was no way that I could be a boy. And I actually didn't believe it until I was like, or like didn't realize that maybe there was something up that made me not look like a boy to the rest of the world when I was forced to play softball at 13 when they split leagues up and I was no longer allowed on the baseball league. And that was just like a very detrimental moment in my life. I've always just been a really creative kid, and I actually ended up running away from home when I was 16 due to the like levels of abuse in my household. And this was in South Carolina. And I went back to South Carolina. I went to Florida for a while. When I ran away, I went back to South Carolina. I finished high school, moved to Charleston with my first like partner and friends. And after that didn't work out, I kind of floated around for a bit and ended up in Asheville, North Carolina when I was 20. There I got sober when I was 21. I was using a bevy of drugs to like self-medicate, and I got clean. And I guess through that, after a couple of years of being in recovery, I got really involved with like politics and LGBTQ activism. I'm thinking it was 2010. There was some like LGBT bashings in Asheville, and I'd like formed a rally around it called We're Not Bashful. About 500 people came out. It was very successful. One of the first big like LGBT events to happen in Asheville in terms of people like taking a stance on something and like showing up for LGBT people and, you know, saying that this isn't okay, basically. So out of that, I started an organization called Justice for All with some friends. It was a local nonprofit, and we basically educated folks. We had different really awesome events too for the community. We had dance parties, you know, we did things like raise funds to get trans folks up to the Philadelphia Trans Health Conference. We did a gender neutral bathroom initiative. We would talk to local businesses and schools about LGBT work, like give like LGBT workshops and trans ones in specific. And we did a lot of work. I mean, anything you can think of. You know, we had like different rallies. We would work with different organizations on more intersectional issues, like feminist issues. And we did stuff with Black Lives Matter. And, you know, we were just like a really strong presence and force. I came out as trans at 24, so right around the time that JUFA, or Justice for All, was doing a lot of work. And I started transitioning physically, medically at 25. I am now 29. So I've been on hormones for about 4 years. And I left Asheville last spring. I went to New York and I worked with All Out, which is an international LGBT organization that predominantly does work in other countries. Stuff like, we got like gay guys out of jail in Morocco for having like gay relationships because it's illegal there. And like, we would get folks out of Jamaica, or like, we got refugees out of Iraq who were LGBT. A lot of them were trans. We just would raise funds. I wrote copy for them. And when I was in New York, I was kind of like, maybe I'll go back to Asheville. But after leaving, I just realized it was time for me to move on. And I felt like being in a town where I transitioned was really hard, and I was like such a big presence there in terms of trans stuff. So like, everyone knew that I was trans. Everyone would watch me transition. I'd also made like a really big ordeal at the college that I went to, because they wouldn't allow trans folks to use names that weren't their legal names on online learning applications, like Moodle or any other kind of, and so it would out us, and I ended up having to get the ACLU involved and like do a massive petition, and eventually did get the rules changed. And while stuff like that's really great, it's also just like hyper visibility without any humanization. You know what I mean? It's just like, I'm this trans person. I want these things to change, and this is how I feel. And, you know, so I would just be at Whole Foods or something, and like, folks would come up to me and like talk about how brave I was, or like, I'd get mean mugged because someone knew that I was trans or like whatever. And it just, I don't know, going to New York gave me a lot of autonomy where like, I could choose to come out. Plus, it was New York City, you know, it was like a lot of fun. And people there on a different wavelength, like everyone's there working and wanting to do work. And I, you know, I lived in a really great house in Crown Heights in Brooklyn with a bunch of other queer folks. And so I just decided that it was time to leave Asheville, and I'd gone back to Asheville basically just to get my stuff, and thought about going to New York. My sister lived in New Orleans. I really love New Orleans. My partner and I, when we first started dating, went to New Orleans and really had like a very romantic time. I kind of fell in love here, and so we're like, let's give New Orleans a shot. And so yeah, we've been in New Orleans for about 9 months, and it's been really good. So that's my background.
It's actually amazing. I had no idea that you had lived in New York for a little while. I'm not sure, you know, if that was something that I had known or not, but you said that you've lived in New Orleans now for 9 months. So have you had your first taste of New Orleans summer yet, really?
Well, I'm just getting it now. I mean, it's been warm, you know, and like, it was like a very warm winter, and I'm not used to that, because in Asheville, even it snows. Growing up in South Carolina, I didn't really get, you know, cold weather either, but it was still like a little chillier than it gets here. So it's getting hot now. I haven't been able to sleep some nights, you know, and we're about to talk about the project I'm going to do, but I'm hitting the road, so I'm basically going to bounce this summer, and like, I'm pretty excited to miss it. I'm definitely not really into humidity. But my hair looks great. Yeah. It's really made my hair look great. It's given a lot of volume and curls.
Of course. I'm originally from, you know, about as far south in Alabama as you can get. So I grew up with that humidity. And I mean, I sometimes miss it. But then, you know, when I moved to D.C., you get used to not having it as much. I mean, like, D.C. is humid, but it's nowhere near as humid as down, you know, deep south. So, But, yeah, no, I totally feel you on that. So let me ask you, you know, you mentioned your parents, and you mentioned having to try to kind of find another, I don't know, support system, as it were, or just even on your own. So you know, back then, whenever that was, and even up to now, like, what did your support network look like when you were a kid, when you were a teenager, when you were figuring things out in Nashville? Like, did you have a lot of support everywhere you went? Was it some places were better than others? I mean, like, what's your support network then and now?
I think that I've always had really great friends, regardless of what I was into, even when I was, like, partying really hard and doing drugs and stuff. I've always had, like, a very communal vibe. In South Carolina, I had a great group of friends in high school who I still talk to, you know, like, I still talk to my, I'm about to see a lot of them on this trip, and I still talk to my, like, first boyfriend, and, like, you know, coming from South Carolina, that's a lot to say. I went to an arts high school, actually. I went to, like, a vocational arts high school, which is helpful. My first 2 years of high school, I went to North Myrtle Beach High School, which is my, quote, base school. I got made fun of a lot. I didn't really have a lot of friends. I had, you know, I was a part of, like, the, quote, punk kids. You know, we were, like, we'd spend our weekends driving up to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, because they had the closest Hot Topic. There wasn't one in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina at this time. And, you know, so I always had a tight group of friends. You know, in high school, we were really into, like, going to shows. Music was a big part of things, and it was good. And then after high school, I, like, stayed off and on with, and, like, in this punk house in Myrtle Beach. And, like, I was always kind of, like, a part of, like a more political, punkish type community then. And then when I went to North Carolina, you know, I still, like, music and hanging out and community in that way was big. Like, my friends that I had there, I was really loved and really supported. And I did have, like, a big empty hole in my heart for a long time because I didn't have a family of origin in my life. You know, it wasn't until a couple years ago that I started talking to my sister again. She's the youngest. And it wasn't her fault. It was just, like, I couldn't have a relationship with her without my, like, really controlling father being involved. And I saw my mom for the first time in 10 years last year. And so now things are, like, a little different. But for a long time, you know, I did have to make my own family in a lot of ways. And then, you know, after I quit using and stuff, I started forming community through the LGBT community in Asheville. And I still have so many friends from that. Currently, I don't have a whole lot of friends in New Orleans because I work a lot. But there are a few folks who I'm really close to. And I'm starting to get more involved with the trans community here. And it's just a little bit slower to like, get really entrenched in the community here. But even when I was in New York, I was only in New York for 4 months, you know, and I made a whole bunch of friends, and who I still talk to all the time. And, you know, it was really easy for me there. So I've always just been able to, I don't know, like, build a community around me. And it's always looked different, but it's always had similar qualities. There's always a lot of cooking, a lot of sharing, a lot of laughing. Music's been a big part of things, and, you know, activism and politics have been a big part of it.
Right, right. Yeah, I feel like, you know, that's one of the things that time and time again it's really shown that how difficult or easy our lives are, a lot of times has to do with our support networks, right? And if we have that ability, or whether we are blessed with a family, either adoptive or biological, that provides that, it's wonderful. But, you know, if you can craft that, if you have that ability to build that for yourself and know this person is good for me and this person is not, it can make such a big difference. But okay, mm-hmm. So we talked about what you use with Just Us for All and working with All Out. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about Pride.com and Bear World?
Sure, yeah. Pride.com is owned by the Advocate magazine, and it's kind of like their more up and coming, maybe more millennial based news site for LGBT folks and queer folks.
Okay.
There's a lot of different stuff, but it's all related to like LGBT issues. It can be a little bit more crass than like a lot of the sites that are online. Like, it's more crass than The Advocate for sure. I mean, they had an article up today about like how like ways for bottoms to deal with anal vishers, and you know, there's like, it's really, really informative and really educational in a lot of ways. And, you know, some of them are op-eds, some of the stuff's posted op-eds, and some are just news stories. And then there's a lot of listicles, which is, you know, made popular through BuzzFeed, like the 10 ways to do this or the X reason so-and-so does this type pieces, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Which are just becoming really popular and are interesting to write, because I've never thought about things like that when writing articles before, like how do I make this issue into 10 ways or 8 reasons or, you know, whatever. But it can be done. You can take serious issues and make them informative in that format, because they're more shareable. I mean, I can write an op-ed and like pour my heart out into it, and it's not going to get nearly as many shares or page views because people don't want to read it. So if you can make it short and sweet but still have an impact, it can really be done. So I've enjoyed working for Pride, and I really like that the Hear Media Corporation that, you know, owns Pride and The Advocate and Out Magazine, and it's been good. And then Bear World's something I've just started with. Bear World's a gay bear magazine. They had read a op-ed that I had written about being bisexual, identifying as a bear and a trans man. And they were really into it. And I think that they're trying to diversify, you know. So they've never had a trans writer before, and they want to bring me on. I just started writing for them, you know. So we'll see how that goes. But I think they're based out in England, but they're worldwide, and bears seem to love it. So I basically write whatever I want that's related to being a bear and also trans, because I think I'm like one of the only trans voices on there.
It's really cool. It's interesting because I feel like there's a lot of media, you know, back when there was like 2 media outlets for the queer community in the United States, and now there's so many of them, and some that I didn't, you know, I don't know about. And I just think it's amazing that, I mean, we're moving past, I believe that in a lot of ways, well, it depends on the audience, but in a lot of ways we're moving beyond the idea of inclusion and more of collaboration, right? Like, we're not throwing the trans community a bone here. We actually recognize that there are trans people within our community, and therefore their voices are just as important when it comes to content and when it comes to collaboration and when it comes to planning. So I always love to hear about, you know, whether it's trans writers with traditionally L or G or even LGB type of publications. And so, you know, I always think that it's an important thing in our community.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And I think that one of the things that you discussed, and we'll get to the project in literally just a second, is that there's a difference between having a trans voice telling trans stories and talking about trans issues and having a cis voice telling trans stories and talking about trans issues, right? And so I think it's awesome. Every time that, you know, you like post an article that's like, oh, I wrote this for, you know, this other place, I'm always like, great. So these are the places that I know are actually valuing trans voices, and that's an important thing to value, and therefore
absolutely,
it's something that I'm going to pay more attention to. Yeah. So let's talk about Transzilient. So I mentioned in your bio that you're the founder of Transzilient, and this is actually for our listeners. Transzilient is the whole reason that Basil and I were actually introduced. I have a mutual friend that I've known for years and years and years that was like, you gotta hit up this guy that I just, you know, started following, made friends with on Facebook. He's doing this project. And it was just such a stroke of luck that literally I messaged you, friended you, and I was going to be in the town you lived in within like 3 days, I think. It was crazy luck. You just have to, like, I can't do it justice. So please tell our listeners, what is Transzilient about? What is its purpose, its mission, its vision? Like, what's the bulk of it? What are you doing?
So I've always been really into helping people have a voice and tell their stories. When I was working at JUFA, a big project that Justice for All did was something called How We Identify, which was a yearly music, arts, writing type event where people would use their identity in their work, however they wanted it to be. And I actually did a small documentary with a friend named Adam Cable, and we talked about different people's identities and what that meant in Asheville. It was very local and centralized. So Transilient is similar in that vein, but it's also very heavily inspired by Humans of New York. So if anyone's ever seen the Humans of New York project, it's basically the same format. It's a photo, brief interview documentation process. The difference between Humans of New York and Transilient is I only take photos of and interview people on the trans spectrum. So whether they're gender nonconforming, gender queer, transgender, however it is, they're the people that will be interviewed. And the difference amongst that and other projects is, like, I'm not talking about anyone's identity at all. So basically I'm interviewing trans folks, but talking about things that are important to them that don't have to do with their identity or have helped form who they are that don't have to do with their gender. And it's been really interesting because it's such a breath of fresh air since, you know, when you read about trans folks, you read about our bodies or, like, why we transitioned or when we transitioned or, like, whether or not people will love us or, like, people being murdered or, you know, fairly one-dimensional caricatures of us. That has been written primarily to fulfill the cis gaze and a lot of the times written by cisgendered writers or reporters. So it's kind of, it's an all trans-based project. And yeah, we're not talking or mentioning transgender identity at all.
Yeah. Another big difference between this project and Humans of New York is Humans of New York is Humans of New York, right? What you're doing is you're traveling around. Like, what do you have, like, how many spots are you planning on? Do you have certain legs? Like, where are your parameters here?
So we're doing a figure eight. So the other person involved in this project is my partner, Johanna, who also lands on the gender spectrum, but she feels comfortable using she and female pronouns. And so we're starting, when we leave New Orleans, we've also done 5 interviews already in New Orleans. And then we're leaving New Orleans and going to Biloxi, Mississippi, doing a quick interview there, and then headed to Atlanta, where I have about 3 or 4 interviews lined up. I'm going to stay in Atlanta that night, and then we're driving to Charleston, South Carolina, where I have a surprising amount of people wanting to get interviewed. I think like 5 or 6 people that try to contact me to get interviewed there. And we're going to be there for 2 days, so I'm going to try to get as many in as possible. And then we're going to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, Winston-Salem, Durham, and then we're going to Asheville, where I'm from and where I met Johanna. And we're going to borrow her dad's car because it's much nicer than our 1991 Nissan truck. And so, so we're going to pick that up, and we're going to do a couple interviews there, and then we're headed to the Philadelphia Trans Health Conference. And I'll be getting interviews there and connecting with people and networking. And then from Philly, I'm going to New York City. I'll be staying in New York for 3 days. I have about 5 interviews lined up in New York. And then we're considering going to Boston and staying in the Massachusetts area. She's from Massachusetts, my partner. Okay. They're from Great Barrington, which is in the Berkshires. And then after that, we're going to start going west. So we're going to hit like Detroit, Chicago, go through Lincoln, Nebraska, kind of like start going into the Southwest, go through the Grand Canyon, and go all the way up California, go through Portland, Washington State, and then come back down, and then go through Texas, come back to New Orleans. So we're going to make some stops along the way when people contact us. I mean, I think I have like, I don't know, something like 25 people already, you know, lined up to be interviewed on the trip. But then on top of that, I know I'm going to meet so many people at the health conference.
Right. And so, you know, I know that you have talked about this in the past about, you know, you've got these different quote unquote legs to the trip. Are you going to be taking any kind of downtime or break time in between legs, or are you just doing like all of it back to back to back until you're done?
I think that the first leg is going to be the busiest because we're like trying to squeeze a whole bunch of stuff in before getting to Philly. And then when we go across the country from there, I think it's going to be a little bit slower. I mean, the summer is basically going to be devoted to interviews and basically getting stuff up. And then we're going to take a break in general for a while, like a couple of months maybe, and try to become a 501c3. And we do want to, you know, hit some areas that we've missed after that, and are also talking about trying to take it global if it gets good reception, you know. But, like, right. I think it'd be great to, you know, like, take a trip to one country at a time and, like, try to, like, get folks in India and, like, Europe and, you know, Canada even. Like, Canada's huge. It's our neighbor. Yeah. It's really easy to get to. And try to do it that way next. And that might take a little bit more time depending on if we can get, you know, grants or funding or whatever. So that's, like, kind of far off in the future. And we're just looking at right now doing this first leg, but do want to continue it as soon as possible. And depending on how many interviews I get, I don't have to post them all at once this summer. And I can, like, kind of slowly, like, you know, post them after that.
So basically what you're doing is you're spending the entire summer traveling around, and then after that, take some time, get your bearings, figure out where else you're going to go and funding and getting your, you know, your status, whether it's, you know, 501c3, whatever. So really though, you are literally about to embark on several months of travel.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, at the very least 2 months.
Yeah. That's a lot of time not to sleep in your own bed.
Yeah, I'm bringing my dog, and my partner will be with me, so that's helpful. But I'm pretty excited. I mean, I know I'm like such a homebody, and I don't know how into anyone is into astrology besides me, but I'm a Cancer, and like says a lot about wanting to be at home. But I'm also just really just kind of feel like it's time. Like, this is like a project that I've thought up and like proposed to other publications and wanted to do for a while, and then was just like, you know what, like, I'm gonna do it. Like, I'm just gonna raise funds and do this myself and see if anyone would be into, one, being interviewed, or two, supporting it financially, you know. And I've gotten such a huge amount of positive feedback and excitement from all kinds of people. This is the first thing I think I've ever done where I haven't really gotten any negative feedback. Like, I am a writer online, so I'm used to, like, getting people attacking me, like, pretty much daily. But it's I don't think anyone has said anything negative. I mean, one person said something like, that made me think that they just didn't read what I was doing because it was, like, so far off base. But other than that, like, you know, I've just been like, wow, like, this, to me, that's, like, a huge sign. It's like a green light, like, go ahead, like, this is what's meant to happen. So I feel pretty confident in traveling, and my partner and I like to travel. That's something that we have in common very much, and we do it well together, which is great, you know. I mean, there are some people you just can't travel with, and Johanna's not one of them. I love traveling with them, and it goes really well.
I mean, I got to be honest with you. I've been with my wife for 10 years, and I love traveling with her. I really do, and I love spending time with her. But I just have to wonder whether 2 months in a car with her wouldn't make me – once in a while, I'm sure that if it was me, I'd hit a town and I'd go, okay, so tonight you're going to go hang out without me. And because I need a little bit of space from you, because the inside of this car is kind of small with this dog and me and you for 2 months. But I think that's awesome, because the idea of driving all around is kind of great. Did you come up with the plan of the states based purely on, like, people who have reached out to you and said, I'm interested in talking to you? Or did you come up with a rough outline of, let's start in the South and work our way to Trans Health and then hit these specific cities, you know, first, and then reach out to those people? Like, how did you come up with this path?
I did kind of base it around wanting to go to Philly. So it was just like, well, let's just work our way up north and then, you know, find out who wants to be interviewed. Like, so like the Biloxi stop, like that's someone that interviewed me. And then I reached out to Atlanta people. And then, you know, I'm from the Carolinas, so I have lots of connections throughout the Carolinas, places where we can stay. And, you know, knowing people who know people, and just like, it, you know, it's easy. Those first kind of stops are easier because it's like, I have roots there and it's like easy to reach out to folks. And then there's Philly, which is going to also help us network a lot. So, and yeah, I mean, I think that Joe and I are probably going to need space for sure. So we are staying like in different cities, like, because she also has connections in certain cities. Like, she lived in Chicago for a while. She lived in New York for a while. She has people in LA and the Bay Area. So like, there might be nights where I'm like, oh, and like, you know, she has friends in Chicago and I have friends in Chicago. So like, I might go see my friends and, you know, she might end up at her friend's house for a night or something. So I think that'll help too. But we both know a bunch of people in different areas, so it's been really beneficial in planning this.
Absolutely. So after Philly, when you kind of mapped out a little bit of what you're doing after Philly, are you flexible to like changing so that if you network with a bunch of folks and you find out, oh, there's somebody in Lincoln, Nebraska that it also knows somebody else in this other part of like whatever, you know what I mean? Like, is your schedule flexible enough for you to try to meet someone in another place that is not dead on your path? Or have you pretty much nailed down your areas and you're just going to kind of disseminate those cities as you can to get folks interested?
After Detroit and Chicago, and even then it's still pretty flexible, but after Detroit and Chicago, it's very, very flexible.
Yeah. You got a lot of cities packed in there in the first grab, but I'm sure that, you know, you're going to meet so many awesome people in Philly that I cannot imagine that you're probably going to want to meet great people that are, you know, like going to hook you up with even greater people as well. And you're going to be like, well, that city's not on our path, but I've got to go talk to this person. Right.
Yeah.
So
I'm that's definitely going to happen.
Flexibility built in. Yeah, of course. Of course. Right.
And also it depends on like finances. If someone's like, I live 4 hours outside of Cleveland, like, and that's not financially something we're going to be able to do, we just might not be able to do it. You know what I mean?
Right. Of course.
But we're going to definitely do our best to meet people halfway, go to them come to us, like however it works best, you know?
Right. Do you have like a goal number of project participants in mind, or are you just kind of sailing around and meeting as many people as you can?
I'm just sailing around meeting as many people as I can. Want to make it as large and diverse as possible.
That's awesome. Yeah, and that's another thing that I think happens a lot, which for those folks that have already seen the five interviews that you've put up, I mean, already it's kind of a breath of fresh air. You know, I have so many friends that are trans people of color that when they turn on documentaries, a lot of times it portrays someone that looks a whole lot more like me. Someone who, you know, is read as my correct gender almost all of the time, who is white, who appears to be heteronormative. You know, I'm married to a woman, and you know, so I have a lot of friends in the community that are just like, when I look at people telling their stories in the trans community, I don't see people that look like me. And I think that one of the things that I really love about your project already, of the five stories that you've posted, is that you do have a range. Your subjects run the gamut thus far already, and I know that, you know, traveling around, making it as diverse as possible is only going to, you know, bring that kind of voice to communities within the trans community that don't feel like their stories are being told.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very, very important to me.
Yeah. So I have to ask you, what, you know, you've talked about Just Us for All and some of the things that you've done and how awesome this project is going to be, but what has kind of led you to this moment? Was there a moment where, you know, you said that you like to hear people's stories, but, you know, what you're doing here, I mean, I get that you have a job that you can probably write from anywhere, but it's like what you're doing here, it's this huge leap, right, where you're just going to get into a, you know, a box on four wheels with a partner and a dog and just kind of travel around. What brought you to this moment where you were like, this is it, this is what I'm going to do, this is how I'm going to do it? Was there like an event, or was it just kind of like a slow build? Was there a conversation between you and Johanna? Like, how did this come to pass?
I think that it was kind of a slow build. Like, it's kind of something that I've always talked about wanting to do. Well, maybe not always, but like at least for the past year. And you know, then I went to Canada in January for a 10-day silent meditation retreat. And when we got out, Johanna and I were kind of like, what are we gonna do? You know, when you don't speak for 10 days and meditate separately and come back to the real world, you know, you're like in this like very soft, vulnerable place, but also like a very honest, real place. And you know, Joe is like, I think I want to go to the West this summer, but I don't really know what I want to do. And I was kind of like, I think that I want to like not be in New Orleans this summer because it's very hot. And that was like kind of the like early build around it in February. We were both like, we don't want to be in this area this summer, you know. And she was really like, she's a musician and an actress, and she was like, maybe I can like intern out there or something, you know, or like I have friends out there, or you know. And I was like, I want to do a project. And then we talked about going to Philly. We like we're definitely going to do that. And I was like, well, I want to do this project. And then, you know, Johanna and I work very well together. We're very
Right.
different. You know, I'm a little sloppier. She's very much a perfectionist. So, like, we kind of balance each other out in terms of work. And I know I started, you know, digging my heels into this project and seeing how I could make it work. And then Johanna was, like, really on board and wanted to be a part of it and play a larger role. And yeah, it was kind of how it came to fruition. And I was like, all right, well, that's what we're gonna do then. And I was like, that's how we're gonna spend our summer. So let's do this. And it was kind of, yeah, I guess it kind of was born this winter after we went to a meditation retreat. We just kind of felt drawn to going and traveling this summer and working on something. We just didn't know at the time what it was. And then I was like, whoop, this is it. Like, let's do it. And yeah, it just happened. You know, I think we like finally like decided to do it about 2 months ago, and then I've raised all the funds and started it and just like kicked it off in that time period.
That's pretty awesome. I would be afraid that I would have to like plan out my life for 6 months and can I really do this? And because I'm so like particular and worried that, you know, something that big that would just be so time consuming to plan out every detail of it. Right. When I go on vacation, I'm like, eh, I don't need to plan anything. But being on the road that long, I would just imagine like that's amazing that you guys kind of pulled that together in 2 months and really have found a great place with each other in it, right? I mean, it's so important to have a partner that you know where you kind of hold each other up and hold each other accountable and also, you know, help each other realize your dreams. And it's so difficult if you had had this moment of this is really important to me and I'm having this moment of clarity where this is something I need to do and she couldn't or just wasn't on board with it for one reason or another. And so it's so
Right.
awesome. Every time I hear you talk about how, you know, great y'all work together, especially with this project. I just think it's just an amazing thing that I would hope would make this project even more rich and your experience that much more memorable and allow you to throw yourself really into it without being too concerned about, well, when I get back, I got to deal with all this other stuff that I wasn't really
Oh,
anticipating. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I
So
agree 100%.
what are you looking forward to the most about this adventure you're about to embark on?
I'm looking forward to meeting all kinds of people, you know, like, and there's a lot. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing the Grand Canyon. I'll be turning 30 on July 7th, so that's like a big number, you know. And I'll be
Awesome.
kind of on the
Yes.
road doing this work on my birthday, and I couldn't think of a better thing that I'd rather be doing on my 30th birthday than doing a project that I feel very passionate about. So yeah, but predominantly I'm excited to meet rad people and learn things about them and, you know, give them visibility. I mean, that's been my favorite part so far. Like, I've only done 5 interviews, but my like favorite thing that I've always loved to do in my work is to like make someone feel seen, but also make someone feel special. You know, like I love like when people's friends respond and comment on the Transilient like Instagram or Facebook, and they're just like, wow, like, you know, you're killing it, like saying that to the person that was interviewed, or like, you're famous, or like,
Right.
whatever. And like, just makes
Yeah.
them feel good and heard and unique. And like, the truth of the matter is like, everyone is unique and everyone does deserve to feel great. Everyone does deserve to be, you know, visible, but especially trans folks in a way that is realistic, like, authentic and like true to who that person is outside of like the gender they were assigned at birth versus the gender they identify with, you know? So
right.
I can't wait to do more of that. Like I really love breaking that down. I love it. I love helping people have a voice and feel good.
That's awesome. So when you're not, you know, you mentioned that you're working a lot, but when you're not planning this trip and interviewing the folks that you've already interviewed, and, you know, doing stuff for this trip, what do you do? What do you do for fun or to kind of kick back or, you know, whatever the case may be when you're not working or planning this trip out?
I love movies. I love going to movies, and I love my dog, and we hang out a lot. I hang out with friends. I catch up with friends. I am also notorious for pen paling and sending packages, so sometimes I'll spend free time, like, sending packages to old friends. I'm kind of an old man, you know, like I love music. You know, when I was in Asheville, I was also like a DJ part-time and really, I was sort of like a monthly dance party called Glitter Bomb, which was a trans-centric dance party. And so I kind of miss doing that sometimes, but I still play DJ at home. I have a very big record collection and lots of music, all different kinds of music, and I like reading. I also write for things that aren't like online publications, but like was in an anthology called Below the Belt, which is a trans male anthology about trans men's issues / excitement or qualms with bottom surgery, and then I'm going to be in two other anthologies that are coming out this year. So I do a lot of writing on the side in my spare time, I guess. So yeah, I like to cook. I like to bake. I do a lot of that too. I also have a kiddie pool now in the backyard that I just kind
you
of.
You did not like, get a kiddie pool.
See, I did. Cool. Yeah.
That's
I did.
Amazing.
It's,
when we first moved
from the
down
dollar
here,
store.
Amanda. Oh, see, that's exactly. Amanda had wanted when we first moved down here. My wife was like, "It is hot down here. Can we please get a kiddie pool for the deck?" I'm like, "No, because I will not dump that over the second story." She's like, "I just want to sit in something." I was like, "Go sit in the tub."
Yeah, I definitely got one. So sometimes I sit in that. I meditate, as I talked about earlier too, and I'm into yoga and stuff, and you know, try to take care of myself best I can.
Sounds good. Okay, so I want to do something that I have never done on my podcast before, but I just thought that, you know, from some of our conversations, I just thought that this would be a little fun. So we're going to play a little game of choose one, and you have to choose, and I may give you an option, I may not, but I want you to choose one for everything that I'm going to ask you, okay? One thing, and I know it's hard sometimes, but you got to do it. Just choose one, all right?
Okay.
So, photography or writing?
Dang. Writing.
Okay. Best place you've ever lived?
Brooklyn, New York.
Brooklyn. Nice. Okay, so this one is a little bit more for the road. Theme song or favorite band for the trip?
Man. Probably that new Beyonce, probably Lemonade. I feel like that's going to be played a lot.
Awesome. One thing that you're worried about with this project?
I guess, like, totaling Johanna's dad's car.
That would ruin
everything.
That would ruin everything, and more than just this project.
Yeah.
Okay, favorite thing that you're bringing with you from home?
My dog. Yep, dog.
Okay. Food or food region you're most looking forward to trying on this journey?
Unknown fact, I worked in an Indian kitchen as like a sous chef expo for about 5 years, and I'm obsessed with Indian food, so I will try Indian food in every city we go.
Oh, that's awesome. That is so awesome. Okay, so I want, you know, you've been talking about this awesome project, and I want folks to know how to get in touch with you, how to, you know, you'd said something about fundraising, so please, like, where, how can folks find out about the project, follow what you're doing, maybe donate to the fundraising page that you have? Where can people find that information?
WeAreTransilient.com has everything on there, like our social media sites and our fundraising link, and that's the best place to go, WeAreTransilient.com. You can also contact us there. A lot of people have been using Facebook as a way to contact us. If you just, you know, search for Transilient on Facebook, I think it's also Facebook.com/WeAreTransilient. You can find us there and message us.
Great. Yeah, so for those of our listeners, that's spelled WeAreTransilient.com. And as Basil mentioned, there's Facebook, there's Instagram, there's Tumblr, there's also a Twitter account, although that one, that the handle is trans_zilient. So Basil, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on and talk about this amazing journey and about your life and all the great things that you've been involved in and that you are involved in, and your awesome partner, Johanna. I hate that I didn't get a chance to meet her, but she sounds amazing. And so I just want to thank you for taking the time out of your schedule. I know that you're gearing up and you're leaving soon. But as I do with most interviews, I want to give you the last word. So anything that you would like to tell our listeners, this is your moment to share a message or to reinforce something, but you have the last word. So please tell our listeners what's on your mind.
Awesome. Thank you. I guess that I would just talk a little bit about, you know, community support and how important that is and what that looks like. I think it can look different for all kinds of people, and I've had so many different kinds of communities that I've been a part of. And, you know, meaning that, like, sometimes I think because in oppressed groups we can be a little hard on each other, thinking what could be right or what could be wrong, or how to, like, get the right message out there, or, like, who should be representative of our community. And I just really am a big proponent of, like, compassion and love and, like, meeting people where they're at and not trying to change things if they're doing, like, very serious harm. So I guess, you know, I've been thinking a lot about how to support one another recently and how to, like, really love each other and the power behind that, like, what that could bring into our community if there was just, like, a little bit more, like, room for softness, you know, and that happens within ourselves too, but for each other. So, yeah, and I know it's, like, kind of a different topic, you know, like the politics and the issues within the trans and or LGBT community, but it's just important to me, you know. I think that it's not something that's discussed enough.
It's absolutely important, and thank you for sharing that. I don't think that we think about that enough. Basil, thank you so much again for coming on. This has been awesome. I could talk to you forever about this. I hope that you won't be a stranger. I hope that we can continue to keep up and collaborate on further projects, and you are welcome on the Strong Stance anytime that you have something to say. But I just, again, want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your extremely busy schedule to come and share some of your experiences. Yes, absolutely. I want to thank all of our listeners for joining us. Special thanks to our executive producer, Anise Mabry. And until next time, folks, take care of each other and be well. You've been listening to The Strong Stance, and this is Eli Strong.